Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Business news, views, and insights from across the globe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast series, Hidden Growth Champions. Today in our studio, we've got Otis Makamadze. Otis is an executive in the Econet Group, an exciting organization with lots of innovation. And he looks after the business outsourcing unit, which has been doing incredibly well. Now, I remember in our earlier days, years back, the outsourcing unit was just an idea in people's minds. So I'm going to ask Otis during our conversation to tell us a little bit more about how do we turn idea and bring them into life. But to start off with, Otis, welcome to our studio. Tell us a little about yourself.
Thank you so much, sir. It's a great pleasure and privilege to be on your podcast today. And thank you to the listeners as well. Right. As per SAS introduction, I am Otis Tawanda Makamadze. I have been working with the Econet Group for as far back as 2002. So that makes it close to 19 years that I've been in this group in different capacities. And it's quite a privilege once again to be on this podcast just to share some of our experiences as we turned an idea into a real business. Thank you so much, sir.
That's fantastic. So Otis, let me start off with the Econet Group. As you say, you've been there for quite a number of years. How would you describe the organization? If you had to describe it to someone who doesn't know Econet, who is not in the countries in which the group operates, what would you say represents the organization in your eyes? What makes it special?
So I would start off by saying that the Econet Group is an entrepreneurial driven group founded by our group chairman, Dr. Strive Masiwa. This group came into existence as far back as 1993 in Zimbabwe. That's when it started off. And over the period, we actually started to operate a mobile network in Zimbabwe. That was our launch pad. And that was the biggest business that started of this particular group. But over the years, it has morphed into what I would call a TMT group. TMT meaning telecoms, media, and technology business. Within this group, we are pursuing quite a number of interests across the country, across the continent, as well as outside of the African continent. So the interests, they cut across telecoms, they cut across mobile financial services, they cut across what we call our smart tech. So these are businesses basically that are leveraging on technology in spaces like agriculture, education, short-term and long-term insurance, and quite a number. So I would, in a nutshell, call it, it's a diversified group. We are also into fiber that has been rolled out, I think, on the continent right now. Our sister company has done over 100,000 kilometers of fiber on the continent as of the last update that that came through the press.
Certainly diversified and a really interesting business. Now, when we met for the first time, Otis, you were heading up customer services. I think if I remember correctly, we actually met at your contact center and we did some work together to reimagine what a contact center would look like in the context of an integrated commercial unit. How do we bring the bank, the telco, and other parts of the group that you've described together into one organization? Now, looking back and obviously being in the customer services part of the business and in various roles for quite a number of years now, what did you see are the most important challenges to address in that environment and seeing how important is the customer in the life of this organization? What were you trying to solve for?
So I would say that from a group perspective, one of the key differentiators we were working on building and which is an area that we continue to work on and improve on is to find a way of providing a single view across our different product lines within the group. So basically, this improves and enhances the experience whereby we can have a customer from the banking side, but they still want a telco solution or they want a financial solution. And for you to be able to do that, you need to have a seamless way of looking at the customer, a seamless way of providing that particular service. So the journey essentially entailed quite a number of key issues that we're looking at. It also meant that our agents, from a skills and a capability perspective, we needed to ensure that they were conversant with the environment of assisting a customer from our banking side or from our mobile financial services. They would also be conversant with providing service from a telco perspective. So that whole aspect and the, you know, the mindset change, moving from just supporting one particular vertical to a multiple vertical business, it was one of those key challenges that we had to navigate and basically to prepare the team for, to be in a position to do this, not just only for the Econet group, but as we went on exploring this idea further, it had to go even outside the group into other countries that we are currently supporting and providing outsourced services for.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that, Otis, because, you know, certainly from our work, highly innovative businesses do not rest. They keep innovating. And, right. You know, some of the earlier discussions we had about business process outsourcing and the kind of service you can bring to other organizations within Zimbabwe was one thing. But you've managed to continuously iterate that. You've managed to push the envelopes and you're now serving customers in countries very far away from not just from Zimbabwe, from the continent. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about how did that mind shift happen? How did you realize that you could compete with some of the best in the world and to be able to stand your ground in markets as diverse as the UK and others? What made that shift in your perspective, in the way you saw the opportunity, that made you feel this is actually possible? This goes way beyond the early conversation about how the group could provide services to the broader society. So what created that shift? If you can just look back for a moment.
Sure. Thanks for that, sir. So one of the key things that, you know, our group chairman has done and continually does is to basically challenge the status quo, challenge any successes that you'd have made or come up with as a team or as a business. So in one of those business discussions, when we started on this idea, you know, then the challenge was basically thrown to us to say, look, if you can do this for our businesses in the group, what stops you from pushing and extending this particular service, you know, beyond the group into a local market, even beyond the borders, as it were? So it was really an aspect to say, look, we are a local business, but we need and we should always look at ourselves as a global player. By that we mean we have basically started, you know, the Econet Group. It's a Zimbabwean business, but in terms of his view and where he sees this business, it's actually, you know, serving, providing services beyond the country. So that was one of the key challenges that was basically thrown at us. And, you know, in hindsight, we just had to take a step back and look at what we had available at our disposal. And that then in itself gave us the confidence to say, look, it is actually possible for us to do this and not only just do this for other B2B organizations in the country, but even on the continent and even beyond the borders, which is where we found ourselves at now. I think one of the key strengths that we realized when we started to do some level of introspection was that when it comes to the spoken English, the spoken language, our teams are, you know, quite up there. You might have come across a number of researches or surveys that have basically placed the literacy rate in the country to be, you know, in the top three on the continent. So we realized that we do have quite some talented and well-educated young people that are also just starting out. And given the high levels of unemployment within the nation, it also came across and came through as one of those employment creation opportunities, which is very much in line with, you know, our positioning statement as Econet that says, you know, we're inspired to change the world. So that in itself was a way of giving back to the community that we are operating in, over and above, you know, the numerous corporate social responsibility initiatives that the organization is driving.
100%. I mean, I really like the way you've put it, because you were looking essentially at capabilities. You were looking at what are the kind of things that the organization is able to do and recognize that that has value well beyond the country's borders. And that calls for some deep reflection. It is not something we just pick up at a textbook, part of a casual conversation. So very, very much resonate with us. Let me take you a little bit forward. So with that realization, you started to look for clients outside of your home markets. What were some of the early attempts? How did those go? And what could you learn from those early days?
Yeah, when you look back, that's when you some of the dots you start to begin to connect, and you can actually see the story coming through. But you know, I remember vividly one of the first opportunities we had. We were just talking to one of our business partners, and he happened to call me and said, "Look, I'd like to speak to you. I've been talking to your other colleagues within the group, and I believe that there is an opportunity that we can discuss and explore." So we met over drinks, and one of the things that he had in mind was the fact that the Zimbabwean English is quite aligned, especially when you look at it from our historical perspective, that Zimbabwe was formerly a British colony. So we basically adopted the British education system, which is what we're following for education. And there were some organizations in the UK that were looking at providing call center services, but from a more cost-effective destination, where you are not compromising on the quality, but you are able to make or even deliver better quality, and yet doing so in a cost-effective manner. So that's how the discussion began. And then we got onto a life insurance campaign, which was like the first one. And you'll understand, coming from a background of support, where the agents we started off with have been, and we're used to just the customer care side of things. Now we have to get them to start to pitch and to sell, and take all the flack and the slack that comes with the cold calling and so on. It was quite an experience. I actually remember one or two of the agents actually saying, "You know what? I think I'm better off going back to my old role of customer care, customer support." But with encouragement and with coaching and motivating them, and also helping to build their self-esteem, they actually were able to transform and became some of our best agents, coming from a support background into a sales environment. So I think that was one of the, for me, that was one of the key things. But when all is said and done, it's about where the rubber meets the road, and this is where the taste of that concept was actually coming to life. And we were basically looking at how then do we ensure that this concept actually works and it succeeds. And we've seen over time, building up on the various experiences that we've had in looking at a number of campaigns that we've been supporting, we actually have done, in my view, quite well for a startup in terms of the diversity of the industry verticals that we've been able to run outsource campaigns for.
Now, Otis, when we work with organizations that are successful, that have done well, that have built real assets and real relationship with customers, one of the common themes that comes up again and again is that they have their own admired organizations. These organizations don't have to be in their own industry or sector. They could be in other sectors, but there's always a story, a narrative, a connection that says these are the organizations we admire for these reasons. When you and the team went through this journey, were there any organizations that you felt were admired or to be admired? Were there any that broke ground that you would wanted to emulate or learn from, or even partner perhaps? Or was it really a journey kind of from the inside out? You were discovering and creating your own unique path as you went along.
So I would say that yes, we certainly did look up to some of the key players in terms of the business process outsourcing, certainly to get the inspiration and also to just get a sense of what we are looking at. Has it been done, you know, elsewhere by other people? And certainly, you know, some names like Teleperformance come to mind. Some organizations like Tata, you know, come to mind. WNS, you know, Genpact, and quite a number of the well-established players within the business process outsourcing space. And looking at what they've achieved and accomplished over a period of time, you know, it certainly helped us to build our self-confidence and, you know, the faith that, you know what, it is possible, because these companies did not just emerge as it were. They started from somewhere and they've managed to build themselves over a period of time. That was one aspect. The second aspect also was that when we looked at our own history as an organization, we currently have operations in over 23 countries on the African continent, looking at different services that we provide across the group. Like I indicated that we are quite a, you know, highly diversified telco group. The fact that we have been in markets where we also had to even compete with some of the, you know, established and dominant players, and in some cases managed to actually, you know, take market share, grow, and, you know, take a market lead in some of the markets, it also then, you know, further reinvigorated us that, look, we have been able to do this through different services. And, you know, those synergies for us were quite critical, because then we're now playing to the strength of the group, whereby we're able now to leverage on our presence, leverage on some of the services, so that as we package our own propositions, you know, they are unique in their own way, and we're bringing in, you know, different elements and dimensions within the group that could actually, you know, result in us putting up a very compelling value proposition on the table for our customers. So,
give me an example. Because this is a fascinating topic, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about developing value propositions beyond the core business, beyond the business unit. I think our audiences would really appreciate. Just maybe share one example with us.
So I'd give an example where we had one campaign that required us to have some expertise from a banking perspective, where, as I indicated earlier on, we actually have a banking operation within the and we were providing. So we were coming in with the call center expertise from a BPO perspective, and then we then robbed in our sister company from the banking side in terms of basically bringing in that expertise and skill in terms of mapping in the banking processes into our contact center environment. So at the end of the day, we would be in a position to provide the outsourced services, at the same time having and leveraging on the strength of the bank in terms of their expertise and their exposure when it comes to the financial world. So that in itself enabled us to actually go back to the customer with a framework which they were quite happy with in order to, you know, start working together and moving forward together. So that was one of the areas there where we were basically leveraging our telco contact center and our banking experience in order to come up with the product that we were, you know, taking together to the market.
One of my favorite questions comes from Peter Thiel, the venture capitalist. He talks about important truths that few people agree with you on, So as you were venturing into these new spaces, as you were discovering new clients and how open they were to partnering with you, what important truths, whether it is about the you know, the business process outsourcing industry, or about customers more generally, or even mm-hmm. about your team, that very few people agree with you on or even aware of?
So I would say, you know, I'd actually use a quote to point to this and then, you know, go on to expound a bit more on that. You know, there is a statement, I think it's Aristotle, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, it's actually, Will Durant, not Aristotle, sorry. He says that we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but is a habit. And one of the key things that I have always emphasized to the team as we've you know, developed and grown over time is that we need to basically develop a culture of excellence. In other words, when you do whatever you do for a customer, you need, you know, to go all out, because you never know where that single, did I say, action or the experience that they get from you, you know, what other doors it will potentially open for you. In most cases, we always look at it to say, okay, fine, I can just wow this one customer once and then that's it. But we actually, you know, need to make it a habit, something that comes out of and flows out of naturally without us even thinking about it. Because as you do that, that in itself then becomes something that unlocks, you know, more opportunities for yourself as you do that. What we actually realized and experienced was we were serving one particular customer and they're quite impressed by the service they were getting from us to an extent that they went on to sell our service to a fellow colleague, to a fellow business. We actually started to see growth and, you know, we moved on from there to a point where we are now partners, where they're actually helping us to market and sell our services as one of our service resellers. So that came out from a relationship where they were very pleased with the service that we had given them. And from there, it has actually seen us grow more seats from them, access more opportunities through them, and that the partnership continues to grow.
That's a fascinating story. Thank you, Otis. Two last questions. I guess the one I always ask about leadership. This is an essential part of any transition, and certainly something as transformative as what you and the team have experienced. What leadership lessons stand out for you on this journey?
For me, the key one, I'll probably just talk about two to three. The first one for me is that when you are involved in a transformation of this nature, what you have on paper or as your playbook, as your blueprint, is you know, totally different from what you experience and what you meet on the ground when you start the process of implementation. Everything works on Excel, everything works on PowerPoint, but when it now comes to the actual delivery on the ground, that's when you start, you know, to experience other unforeseen challenges, other curveballs are thrown at you, and you realize that you have to be quite the agile team in order for you to be able to navigate the terrain as it, you know, unfolds, as it plays out. Because there are certain elements. Yes, in our planning, we try and, you know, come up with possible scenarios. But there are scenarios that will, you know, just unfold on the ground and you probably never thought of them. So for me, it's about how agile are you in terms of being flexible to understand that, okay, fine, this is not a showstopper, is it, but possibly a flag to you to say, look, you probably didn't think through some aspects of your execution and you now need to make things happen, you know, on the spur of the moment. So that ability to be flexible, that ability to, you know, think on your feet and be able to come up with a solution when you need to get out of maybe a tight spot is one key thing that I realized. I also learned that there's something that Martin Luther King says. He says that if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. In this space, I've learned and experienced quite a number of challenges, obstacles on the way. But it's the ability to basically, work your way around them. I'll give you an example. As we were just, taking off, the COVID pandemic hit. And it's, literally through our plans, off course, off balance. Mm. Most businesses never saw this coming, but it was a situation that we had to deal with. It was a situation where we had to ensure that even our agents, coming from different areas, homes, backgrounds, and what have you, would still need to continue to provide the service because of a contractual agreement you'll have with your customers. So you have to come up with solutions, because no one has probably gone through that path before. Mm. But it's there facing you right in the face, and you basically have to come up with the solution. But I think when you look back again, it just attests to our core values, as this new business unit. So we're basically about agility, about excellence, and about innovation. And these have come to play where we find ourselves that these are meant to be the drivers of how we're going to grow this business into the future. So I would say, those two key things that you should not give up. Yes, you'll meet challenges. Yes, you'll face obstacles. But what's critical is be the ability to think on your feet and be able to come out of whatever sticky situation you find yourself in.
Yeah. Wise words. Thank you for sharing this with us. Thank you for sharing the success story with us. And we wish you and the team really all the very best as you continue to serve clients in faraway destinations. I think you've left us a lot of lessons, both for leadership in general, mm-hmm. and particularly for people who were in your position, who were kind of looking up and asking, how can I contribute to making the broader group a success. So thanks again, Otis. It was great to have you on our podcast, and I'm very much looking forward to having this episode out and share with our audiences.
Thank you very much. It was a great privilege, and it was also nice talking to you and sharing our story. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Join us next time for more business news, views, and insights from across the globe.